Welcome to Cloud Foundry Weekly, your source for all things Cloud Foundry. This week's episode, we will dive into what's new with the Cloud Foundry Foundation with Chris Clark and Ram Iyengar. Please enjoy the show. Well, hello, everyone. It is Thursday, the 18th, April the 18th, and this is another episode of Cloud Foundry Weekly. Nikki is back from vacation, and I think you are muted, Nikki, so I can't unmute you. You might want to unmute yourself there. And can you tell us how the beach was?
Man, the beach was awesome. It was well-deserved. I got to go in a submarine down like 450 feet.
Oh, nice.
Look at a shipwreck. Got to swim with turtles, go golfing. Me and the wife had a great time. It was well-needed.
Nice.
And I can tell you everything you want to know, all the useless trivia about the alcohol, the Curacao alcohol they make there. Went through a distillery tour, so it was a great time.
Well, I guess I'm sorry you're back at work, but I'm glad you're back. It's not as fun as Cloud Foundry Weekly Live or whatever, but we'll try to make it that fun.
I'm sad I missed the show last week, man. Michael, yeah. Cote, that was a great show.
Yeah, we were lucky we got Cote to fill in for you. We even had a little beard commentary about how your beard was still most impressive compared to the three of us. So, yeah, if you haven't checked out the previous show, check that out and all of our other shows at Cloud Foundry Weekly Live or cloudfoundryweekly.com. I don't know why I keep adding live to it. But anywho, we have a very special episode this week with some special guest stars from the Cloud Foundry Foundation. So let's go ahead and bring them on now. Bring them on. All right. And we have Chris and Ram from the Cloud Foundry Foundation here with us. Ram, do you want to kind of give us a bit of intro about yourself, what you do, that type of thing?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Nick and Nikki. My name is Ram. I work as the chief evangelist of the Cloud Foundry Foundation. What that means is I get first dibs on all of the wonderful stickers and swag. What that also means is I get to represent the project publicly, speak with a lot of the folks in the community, focus on some of our marketing and analyst stuff, and get a lot of the appreciation that's meant for the engineers and the contributors and the maintainers. I have the wonderful job of passing along all of that feedback from the community to the folks that are doing the actual work building the platform.
Oh, very cool.
And you're doing one of those today. Where are you at today, Ram?
So today I have the pleasure of joining you from the beautiful the beautiful town of Seattle. So I'm at Open Source Summit today. There's a couple of talks that I'm giving somewhat related to the projects we do, but also about some of the open source licensing and other stuff that seems to be disproportionately impacting the tech community today.
Yeah, those are very, very relevant and hot topics for sure today. Yeah.
Sunny sure. Seattle, there's a comment you only get to make like 2 weeks out of the year.
Yeah. All right, Chris, tell us about yourself.
Hey, everybody. Nikki, thanks for having me. My name's Chris Clark. I am the program manager at the Cloud Foundry Foundation. I work with the ALF. And I've been working at the Cloud Foundry Foundation for about 7 years now, which is wild. It's gone by quickly. I was at one point the technical operations manager. Now I'm program manager, and I kind of help the governing board and the TOC kind of make things run smoothly and coordinate things on the Linux Foundation side of things if we need any events help or legal department or anything like that. I coordinate that. So sort of a wear a lot of hats sort of somewhere in the midst of executive, administrative, operational duties. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, that's great to have you. We have very two key contributors to, how we and continue to maintain, Cloud Foundry as this open source awesome tool that we all know and love. And I guess that on that note, we can start the show like we always do. And I think it's kind of almost one of my favorite times of the show is that we usually ask each guest, do you remember your first CF push? What was that like? What was your first contribution to Cloud Foundry or whatever like that? Whatever you want to go for that. But I guess Chris, we'll let you go first. What was your first CF push? And
sure. How did it feel? it felt fine.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was straightforward. It was exciting because I was just learning about Cloud Foundry, obviously, as most people are when they first do a CF push. Mm-hmm. This probably would have been on Pivotal Web Services, mm-hmm. I would imagine, mm-hmm. circa 2016, I would think. And yeah, that was nice. I hear Broadcom's bringing PWS back.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
I
wish. I miss having a managed public cloud foundry though. So easy just to mm-hmm.
that.
That was when I was first learning all about Cloud Foundry. When I took that job initially, I had never heard of Cloud Foundry. So mm-hmm. just sort of happy luck that it was such a good fit and such a great open source community, and that's been a fun run. But yeah, CF push. Yeah, 2016, it was pretty straightforward. I was like, this is really easy. I understand why people love this software.
I'm not going to lie, you kind of scared the crap out of me there for a second, Chris, with the whole, we're bringing back PWS. I'm like, that's news to me.
Yeah, same thing. I was like, uh-oh.
They tell us that.
That's easier for people out at Broadcom right now.
Yeah.
May as well stir the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
We don't want to miss any memos, if you know what I'm saying. All right. Oh, boy. Okay. Ram, can you tell us your story and not try to scare us at the same time? That would be very much appreciated.
Experience and brush with Cloud Foundry was when I was evaluating it as part of some research I was doing for an organization that was all in on another platform, which was from one of our red color hat wearing competitors.
We can get a vibe.
Yeah. I was evaluating the tool for its capabilities and things like that. And after I joined the foundation, I remember being a lot more happy about how cool it was and how easy it was and how much more comfortable it was after a decade of working as an engineer in the trenches and mm-hmm. not having Cloud Foundry as part of our production tool chain. It was really nice to see how much simpler it can be, and it made telling the Cloud Foundry story that much more easier and a pleasure.
Nice.
Now, I got a question for both of you. So how long have y'all both been with Cloud Foundry Foundation? Because I was kind of expecting, Ram to come in and say, I've been here since the start. My first push was before it even existed, right?
So. Yeah.
2016, which is pretty far back. I mean, I think the Cloud Foundry Foundation was created in 2015, if I'm correct. There are certainly folks at, like VMware, Pivotal, VMware, Broadcom that that have a much longer background, going back to even like 2011, I believe, although sometimes people quote 2013 is the beginning of Cloud Foundry, but really a couple years before that even. But yeah, 2016.
Okay.
I've been with the foundation since 2020, so just coming up on my fourth year here.
Nice.
Gotcha. Yeah, because it always kind of, I always tell people Cloud Foundry it's one of the greatest products that I've ever worked on. Got me super excited. So I could only imagine actually getting to work for the foundation, be able to go out there every day and tell people how great this product is. So a little jealous of the roles you guys got there.
It's yeah, very fun. Much so.
Yeah. I mean, I've now, it's like 7.5 years of Cloud Foundry, which has been great.
Yeah, I'm well known within the Broadcom of being able to say, why don't we just do that with Taz? I love, Taz. I love yeah. Cloud Foundry. We're mm-hmm. already doing that, right? So yeah. I get a lot of people that coming back to me, oh, Nikki must be on because he's promoting the value of Cloud Foundry and Taz again.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the Kool-Aid man with Cloud Foundry every time I come into a meeting. I'm like, CF Push, what's up? Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sure we can make some kind of line with that. I guess moving to, I guess, one of our first topics. So, you know, the Cloud Foundry Foundation, like, what's new? Anything new going on there? Anything we want to discuss? Like, fun, exciting things, potentially, to bring up?
We've got events. Oh. I mean, the foundation itself, if we're doing our job right, you know, is not that interesting because we're just a little open source foundation. But obviously, Cloud Foundry, the project, there's lots of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you all about that stuff. But we do have some events coming up. There's a Cloud Foundry Day in New York City on May 15th. This will be our first standalone Cloud Foundry Day in New York ever. Mm-hmm. And also in North America since the pandemic. We had a nice sold out Cloud Foundry Day in Germany last year. And this year we're having one in New York, and then we'll have another one in Germany again in October. So yeah, Cloud Foundry Day, Midtown Manhattan, May 15th, should be a lot of fun. You can find all the information online if anyone's interested, but it should be a great day.
Yeah. We'll put the links to that in the details below, you know, at the bottom at the end of this episode. So Great. Come back, take a look. We'll have all the links for Cloud Foundry Day. And Rom, you're giving a talk at Cloud Foundry Day, yes?
Yeah, I am. So one of the projects that the foundation owns and manages is the Paketo Buildpacks project. And it's a part of the Cloud Native Buildpacks ecosystem. And, you know, there's a lot that it can do in terms of simplifying builds and, you know, eliminating a lot of toil for developers and reducing cognitive overload because you don't have to necessarily write and maintain things like Docker files and things like, and, you know, a lot of meta like that. But one of the things that I found is that there's a lot of newer base images and more secure base images and run images and things like that that are available in the larger ecosystem. And, you know, one of the things that the job lets you do is to experiment and evaluate if the newer sort of technologies have any space in the ecosystem. And the talk is a result of some of these experiments and what I was able to discover with these images called Wolfie, which is like an undistro. And their claim to fame is for being CVE-free. my talk is about doing a CVE-free set of buildpack images using Wolfie and taking advantage of the larger container and security ecosystems for the buildpacks project.
Well, I got my attention, CVE-free.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds very marketable. we need to double click into that one for sure. Yeah.
I think we could have a whole episode just on the concept around that and what that means for everybody.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think there's so many people still not using any type of build pack technology.
Correct.
And it's a shame. I mean, even no matter where you deploy to, I mean, just shipping a Docker container for, you know, production applications is not necessarily, you know, what you really want to do in the long run. So I think we've seen a lot of traction with Paketo as well as like a pretty big project within the CFF. Can you speak a little to that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big surprises for me when I started, you know, representing Cloud Foundry publicly was a lot of people came back and said, oh, we didn't realize you were the owner of Paketo Buildpacks and we already use it. And, you know, it's got this great feature set, and you know, to me, in my head, Cloud Foundry was the thing and Paketo was, you know, just a project on the side sort of, but it was a big draw. It continues to be a big draw in all of the booths that we put out and in a lot of the conversations that we have with folks, and it's definitely seeing a lot of adoption. The kind of on-ramp for the project is, it's quiet. It's not that, you know, we have the most marketable and a lot of marketing dollars and advertising behind it. But it's one of these very utilitarian technologies that a lot of engineers and platform operators just love. And, you know, Paketo as the base for your internal developer platform is catching a lot of attention, and it's being very useful. And for some reason, the larger ML ops community seems to love Paketo, and people have written build packs for obscure things like Jupyter notebooks and like very specific ML stacks and things like that. And it's you know, amazing to see all of the different things that you know, people come up with that you don't even imagine as you're working through the project. And you know, it's been a great experience evangelizing Paketo, to be honest.
Very cool.
I always saw that as one of the advantages of, you know, Cloud Foundry as a whole, is you give them a base, and then you got all these people going out there in the community that are writing their own things. You know, they're making it better on their own. So, you know, it's amazing to see what some of the people are doing with Cloud Foundry and with being able to kind of roll their own build packs and make things a little bit simpler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think the ML ops AI is pretty hot these days. So, yeah, I can see traction there.
It's been fun. I mean, Paketo's sort of been, you know, sort of thriving without us having to do anything, which is always nice. We had Bloomberg join the Cloud Foundry Foundation late last year. Mm. And that was the first time we've had a new Cloud Foundry Foundation member join that doesn't use Cloud Foundry. they have in the past in small ways, but they joined specifically because of Paketo Build Packs. It's a really core part of their internal platform. And yeah, they wanted to support Paketo. So that was very welcome news. We love having them as part of the community. And just, you know, at KubeCon in Paris just now, two of the keynotes were build packs centric. One from Bloomberg, one from Heroku Salesforce. So mm-hmm. It was really nice to see that project sort of, you know, taking front and center, and yeah, it's been exciting. Ram and I actually went out to dinner with a lot of the buildpacks.io maintainers while we were there. That was a lot of fun. Nice. Got to meet a lot of folks we hadn't met before or just interacted with on Slack, so it was great. I think I'm not quite sure when, but maybe Salt Lake City or maybe next year KubeCon, that buildpacks.io spec will move into incubation at the CTF. Nice. So that could be a nice milestone and a good opportunity for Paketo to sort of, you know, get some more eyes on it. But yeah, it's been great. Everybody that, you know, Cloud Foundry experience has always been relied on build packs, but it's nice to be able to provide that to the wider Kubernetes community as well.
And I think at Cloud Foundry Days, I think we got two or three sessions that are just focused around Paketo.
Yeah,
I know ROMS is focused around. I think we've got at least one or two others that are focused. I mean, it's going to be a huge thing, right?
Yeah, and a shout out to Deshaun. He's here helping us, you know, on the live stream, giving us a lot of great comments. So
doing his best to try to get the audience involved.
Yeah,
come on, guys, ask questions. We're here for it.
We love you, Deshaun. Thank you.
I mean, he's just such a wonderful person to have in the community. The recent work he's done with build packs and stuff is great, and you know, such a useful member to, you know, just have to speak about a lot of this tech and to see what he experiments with and what he puts out. You know, it's just been great so far.
It's always fun having him on a show because you never know what Deshaun's going to do. You got a topic in mind, and the next thing you know, Deshaun's way out here in left field talking about something different. But always fun to have Deshaun on a show.
And I guess we'll give a shout out to the spring office hours as Deshaun is referencing. It's probably his first favorite weekly live stream is spring office hours for sure. And that him and Dan do a great job in the spring community. So if you're looking to do spring stuff, check that out.
And I guess we'll let him get away with that second favorite because he has his own show.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Probably means that his favorite one is the Cloud Foundry Foundation live stream. So,
oh, yes.
Thanks, Deshaun.
Yes, exactly.
We're going to end up just having a grudge match between all the live episodes to see who comes out on top.
It's all good. We're all working together. So All right. So you mentioned the KubeCon Paris. Like, what was the vibe there? Like, how, you know, what's going on? You know, it's 2024. I've been to a few KubeCons. I didn't go to this one in Paris, but what was your key takeaways from the event?
So just in terms of trends, going back, the conversations at this time were, you know, heavily on platform engineering and platform centric. It was a lot of observability in OTel last time. It was a lot of security stuff the year before that. And so it really seems to me that, you know, the community is sort of maturing and finding its way and, you know, allowing paved paths to emerge and make things easier for developers. I keep, you know, telling folks that Amsterdam was the first time that I saw somebody publicly admit on the keynote stage that, you know, Kubernetes doesn't rank too high in terms of simplicity. The complexity of the tool is a little hard for you know, people to get their heads around and do stuff. And so since then, we're seeing this growing number of platform projects on Kubernetes, people offering like a paved path and an opinionated path on, you know, here's how best you can consume like CNCF projects and things like that. And, you know, we always keep touting the horn that Cloud Foundry has been, you know, a little ahead of the curve with the OG of this platform conversation. And, you know, it's good to see a lot of people emerge in the idea. There's obviously, you know, a huge amount of like Pivotal and Cloud Foundry experience among the people that are doing this. And so, you know, it's nice to see the energy, it's nice to see the efforts. And, you know, Paris was a sort of validation of a lot of these platform ideas that we've been very vocal about for a while now.
And that's something that's always stuck with me is, you know, with Kubernetes, people, you know, they associate Kubernetes and containers. They're one and the same. And, you know, always having to tell people, no, man, Cloud Foundry was doing Kubernetes or was doing containers before containers were cool. Right. It is Kubernetes. It's Garden versus K8s, but they're still containers. But it's hard to get people's mind wrapped around that. Yeah, we were doing Kubernetes way back, or we were doing containers way back before Kubernetes was even a good idea, right?
Yeah. Or existed. Yeah. And I think too, you know, obviously, we have this with this thing called Cloud Foundry Carifi as well, which kind of bridges the two worlds. Mm-hmm. I assume there was some interest there as well, or what can you tell us around that?
This was the first time first KubeCon we've been at where people were coming up and asking about Carifi because they're like paying attention and following it, which is great. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've just sort of been, you know, evangelizing it and telling everyone all about it, but people weren't really like necessarily, at least we couldn't tell they were paying attention. Now people are coming up asking about specific features, when they're going to be ready, things like that. Someone said they were using it in production, which is nice. The company that we weren't aware of that was using it. So that's great. It was nice to see that. And I mean, it's been sort of, Cloud Foundry has been in a pretty comfortable place at KubeCon's, the last one in Chicago and this one where, you know, this with the focus as Ron was talking on platform engineering, you know, we're there and we're it's fun being the Cloud Foundry booth because most of these booths are like new startups and stuff. We've been around for like 13 years, which is you know, kind of ancient lore.
Well experienced.
And we get to you know, for people building their own platforms, we can talk about Paketo build packs and how powerful cloud native build packs are. And we can talk about Carifi for developer experience and kind of a more, you know, a more dev centric platform focus. And at the same time, we can also say, or you could not build your own platform. You know, Bosch based Cloud Foundry still solves a lot of the problems that people are trying to solve. It was good.
And what's y'all's take on Kubernetes? I've often, you know, to me, it kind of feels like the new shiny. There is a high learning curve there, you know, and I've told people in the past, if if we would have called Garden Kubernetes with an A, we probably wouldn't have so many people looking to go, you know, looking at K8s as a solution forward, because Cloud Foundry just makes those things so simple. Karifi's kind of trying to bridge that gap. What is y'all's opinions on Kubernetes and the path forward there? Hard question.
No, I mean, it's a case of, you know, what developers want at the moment more than anything. So if Kubernetes is the technology of choice for a large part of the tech community, then there's ways in which, you know, Cloud Foundry can, you know, add value there. And then, you know, there's this whole new generation of tools like build packs and stuff to do storage and things like that with all of this technology emerging. But if for whatever reason you've decided to Kubernetes, now let's not get into the do you want it versus do you need it discussion and things like that. But you know, somebody made a decision, you're having to use Kubernetes right now. You know, there's a path forward to simplify that, and that's, you know, that's where we see opportunity to help the larger community. And you know, there's like Chris was saying, decades of experience in making platforms and in solving a lot of the issues, you know, day zero, day one, day two, whatever category of issues. And so, you know, there should be a path where, you know, both of these sort of come together. And that's what we like. Two interesting stories that I have from the trenches is whenever we do sort of representation at KubeCon, like a booth and sponsorship and things like that, there's always there's someone who comes up to us and says, hey, I've used Cloud Foundry. We now have to use Kubernetes. I wish we didn't, but I also wish there was something like Cloud Foundry on Kubernetes. And it's such an easy pitch at that point to say, hey, you know what? Have you heard of Karifi? And it's wonderful to do that. And in Paris, there was actually somebody who came up to the booth and said, hey, we're using Karifi. We're using it to move a lot of our apps to Kubernetes. You know, I'm having performance problems and things like that. And, you know, my first reaction was, that's great. And I got a very weird look back saying, you mean you're happy we're having performance problems? And I said, no. I'm sorry. I should have been more thoughtful. But I'm happy you discovered the project. I'm happy that, you know, you came back and you're speaking to us about it. But we can definitely, you know, have the community reach out and have you participate in like these ongoing calls and Slack and what have you, and, you know, get solutions to what problems you're facing. And so, it's been very rewarding that way, you know, to watch the project start and stumble along and, you know, sort of find its feet right now and grow.
Well, I think there's kind of this, you know, we got this from a few customers that, you know, with Kubernetes coming in, they kind of think Bosch is dead. And we've been doing a lot of, you know, no, that's not true. We're still making lots of investments in Bosch. It's not dead at all. What are your thoughts around that?
Well, first, just on Kubernetes, you know, Kubernetes is a great tool. It's been an incredibly successful open source project, probably after Linux, maybe the most successful open source project we can think of. But there's certainly, you know, with all new technologies, there's a hype cycle that sometimes gets things wrong. And I think Kubernetes has been sold to some folks for purposes that probably, you know, didn't serve them very well, because it is, you know, it's pretty easy on day one, you know, to get started with Kubernetes, but for building your own platform and all the other components you need to put into it can be quite tricky. So Bosch, you know, is an incredibly powerful tool. Mm-hmm. I mean, to talk specifically about Bosch versus, you know, the entire Cloud Foundry platform, Bosch is certainly an underrated tool that I'm glad to see that there's, you know, more investment in and more dev resources being put into it, because it is a really powerful tool, and the people that come to know it, you know, love it and realize how powerful it is. There is a bit of a learning curve, which is unfortunate. You know, right. It's a tough one to get people to get started with, but you can move cloud native mountains with with Bosch with a couple of operators, and it's pretty powerful. So, and I don't know if it's either or exactly, right? There's been multiple iterations of trying to make Cloud Foundry, Bosch, and Kubernetes all play nice together. And, that's still happening. With Karifi, of course, it's just, that top layer for Kubernetes, but, you could still use Bosch underneath the hood there too, under Kubernetes, right?
Yeah. Well, and I've heard customers kind of talking about Karifi as being that path forward, right? The ability to go to Kubernetes without having to change my pipelines, using the muscle memory we've got with the CLI.
Right.
Do you see any path where Garden gets replaced with Kubernetes, or we start moving in that direction where all of the components that go into Cloud Foundry start getting containerized in their own right, which could have implications on upgrade times and how fast you can, do change and pave?
Well, I mean, earlier on there was Irini, which was the initial project to use Kubernetes as the orchestration layer within Cloud Foundry. It was successful. It worked, and people were using it. But ultimately, Karifi was like this truly Kubernetes native approach to having the Cloud Foundry dev experience. Sort of what we've all settled on as the most logical architecture. There is a weakness to Cloud Foundry in that it's this big monolithic platform, and it's been challenging to swap out components. And Kubernetes is more extendable. So we're hoping that's where Karifi kind of is. And in a couple of ways, we hope that there's sort of an emerging of these technologies. There's been a proposal for a while. It's talked about. Now there is an RFC to bring cloud native build packs into Cloud Foundry on Bosch. That would be a really welcome addition. having Karifi have the full services that like CF marketplace experience implemented, will really make for more of a complete Cloud Foundry experience on that. So, we do hope for the future that, that these efforts are what makes Cloud Foundry more like future proof. Because, someday I think, we expect Cloud Foundry to be around for a while, 5-10 years at least, right? We expect Kubernetes probably to be around for 20 years or something. It's plumbing, at a certain point. Yeah. But all of these things, come and go. And, we want to make these technologies as future resistant as possible. And Karifi is a really good step in that direction.
But I think it's going to be too, people can pick and choose what substrate they want to use, right? Because you can go down the Karifi path and everything. But you still have to manage Kubernetes at the end of the day. And right. A lot of people still struggle with that. So, and I think that's where OG Cloud Foundry and Bosch and everything comes into play, really helps out that, get that, we see time and time again. And I came from a company where we had, two or three, platform engineers, operators running, tens of thousands of apps type of thing. So, definitely see that. That is just kind of a, substrate of choice type of thing going forward. I think our Cloud Foundry for VMs is going to be around a very long time.
Yeah.
Just because some of the adoption that we've seen, at least within Tanzu. So, So I guess maybe I wonder, I don't know if anyone can answer this question here, but this caught my eye from Deshaun about ARM64 support for Bosch or Cloud Foundry. I haven't seen any stories. Has anyone seen stories about that? That would be really interesting as we start to see some of these newer architectures come into play.
No? Yeah, I'm not particularly aware of any efforts from any of the working groups towards that. And I think that's, largely also the result of our workloads not demanding ARM64 support, if we really do want to take advantage of the Darwin and those kind of things that are really out there, it can happen. But I also, in some sense, think that this is a solution that will emerge from outside of Bosch itself, because if there's a, I know there's an effort underway to try and see cloud native build packs becoming like the de facto and default build packs because they export to like OCI based containers. And if Cloud Foundry starts to use cloud native build packs and cloud native build packs get ARM 64 support, then, you know, in theory, you know, Bosch could have ARM 64 support. So, you know, Deshaun, this really is dependent on, you know, the work that you do. So I guess you're the answer to your own question.
Busy, Deshaun.
The highest level app layer needs to support it first, and then we can go, you know, all the way down to the, you know, let's say the Diego cell.
Correct.
Because, like, yeah, if you're trying to run an ARM 64 app on an x86 based Diego cell, obviously that's not going to be good. So yeah.
So I think the solution to this will be driven from a lot of the efforts that are happening outside of the ecosystem, and you know, once I think Bosch will somehow have to play catch up to it, but at a slightly later stage is what my knee jerk reaction to that is.
Okay. Going back to Karifi real quick. So, you know, Deshaun brings up a good point. I got the pleasure of seeing Mark Fiennes. He does a demo using Karifi where he pulls in, you know, creates a, you know, not just a user provided service, but pulls the secrets from a Kubernetes deployed data service and wires that into. So hopefully we're going to get Mark to do a lightning demo for us. We'll put that up on the channel, but it was very neat to see what Mark was doing with Karifi, you know, from a Kubernetes and a Cloud Foundry standpoint.
He's done some very, very interesting and great work recently in that. Yeah. We have to get him on the show. Cause, I just need to bring him on the show just to get caught up with what he's doing. So it's
agreed.
Cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we're hoping to start getting some of these things and doing kind of, you know, not only just the show, but getting some of these real quick demos of what these guys are doing, especially like Mark and some others, putting those up on the channel for people to review and take a look at. And then, you know, based on interest, come back and do a deep dive on that with the show.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Next topic. What are we going to talk about now?
Speaking of Bosch and things like that, I think one of the big things that we're going to announce next week is FIPS compatible stem cells. So there was a rather massive effort involving, you know, the entire Bosch community across like Broadcom, VMware, and SAP, and some folks at Canonical, and some Bosch enthusiasts in a lot of other smaller companies. And so I think, you know, the community has really put in a lot of effort in making sure that there's FIPS compatibility for JAMI stem cells that have been released. So the whole effort to move to JAMI was, you know, again, it was big. And then, you know, FIPS compatibility really puts us, gives us the ability to tackle a lot more of the enterprise pie that we don't do currently. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of implications in the broader sort of applicability of Cloud Foundry in environments that require higher compliance, more security, and all of these things. So that's something we, you know, the effort has come to a conclusion largely, and it's something we intend to announce in the coming week. So,
oh,
you know, some interesting stuff going on with Bosch. Again, it's definitely not dead. there's a lot going on in the community. It's just one of those very quiet and, you know, sort of introverted communities.
Well, and I think that's going to be huge. You know, we've got with a lot of our Fed-based customers, right? This was one of the reasons that Cloud Foundry was a good choice for them, was because of the processes and checkbox that you got to do for authority to operate. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of having to go through application by application, you can get your ATO on the platform, which means all the applications are automatically covered. Now with adding FIPS in, this gets to be an even better story for secure operations and federal clients.
Mm-hmm. That's
and then absolutely. You add in a Bosch repave every day or every 2 days for a clean state security too.
Yep.
It's a really good story, compelling too. Very cool. And two on the FIPS thing. So we announced early access for that on the Tanzu side last week. Nice. So I think that's a great example of you know, the strength of the CFF and how we can all work together to deliver something for the community. So I know it's good to see you know, everyone working together to better the project as a whole.
Yeah, it was a great communal effort. Lots of folks from Broadcom, from SAP, the folks at Canonical were quite helpful. Cloud.gov, Comcast, but there's a whole lot of people involved in that effort. It's really nice to see it come to fruition.
Okay, very cool. Let's see. We've kind of briefly touched on Carifi and Paketo. Is there any other news from KubeCon Paris that you want to cover? Or did we? I know we talked about that a bit as well. All good.
Yeah, I covered that pretty well. Looking forward to Salt Lake City. I wish it was a little bit later, so there'd be some snow there. But
that's the next next episode. Yeah, North American KubeCon. Okay,
so yeah. we'll be there too. There is a KubeCon in India in December, and remains to be seen whether or not the CFF will have a presence there. But we might. We'll talk to the governing board about that. Exciting. We'll be at Salt Lake City as well. And you know, haven't thought far enough ahead to talk about next year. But we've got that and our two Cloud Foundry days. So,
yeah. Is there any more information you could share about the Cloud Foundry Day upcoming in Germany as well? Do we have official dates or times on that yet?
We do. Ninth? It's the ninth, right, Rob?
Yeah, the 9th of October.
October 9th, and it'll be in Karlsruhe.
Oh, do you any idea where that is in relation to Heidelberg?
It's fairly close to Heidelberg.
Okay, very cool.
That's not too far from that. I mean, I think you could fly into Frankfurt or Stuttgart if you're flying. Mm-hmm. It's quite close to like Strasbourg in France, and it looks like a charming city, as many small German cities are. Mm-hmm. That should be a lot of fun. We haven't talked too much about that because we've got New York City coming up and just
right. Yeah, of course.
But yeah, we've got the event location booked. We'll figure out there'll be a reception later that night. Perhaps there'll be another day after event for maintainers or something like that. But yeah, right now just excited for New York City. New York City in May. It's a great time to be in New York. Should be.
And you said Germany was September 9th?
October.
October 9th, right?
Yeah.
And we've already got Deshaun asking, is CFPs open for Germany yet?
CFP is open for Germany. We haven't announced that really because, I mean, it's a ways off. So the CFP doesn't close till like at the end of July. So there's time for that. And we've just been focused on New York, so we haven't really announced that. But the CFP is open, Deshaun. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's I mean, I'm super excited about Cloud Foundry Day in New York City, and hopefully, I can go back to Germany this year as well.
Yeah,
I already know a lot of folks who may be really interested from our customer base for sure. Great. So we will continue to spread the word. Let's see here. I guess we can kind of hint at this, so we can't say yet, right? But as we're talking about Cloud Foundry Day. That week, we are going to take this show live and close out the Cloud Foundry Day event with Cloud Foundry Weekly live at Cloud Foundry Day. And we have some very special guests. I'm not going to say who yet because we're just waiting on some final confirmations. But just keep an eye out for that. And it should really be a great way to close out the day.
Remind everybody on that one that... It's the 15th. It's not going to be our regular Thursday since we're going to close that out on the 15th instead of the 16th. But man, that's going to be a fun episode.
Yeah. And Nikki, are you coming?
I am. I'll be there as well.
Great. Awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yep. Can't wait to get there.
Well, I'm sure we'll try to do some interviews with folks. Maybe have them, you know, recorded up, you know, posted after the fact. But you know, try to get that hallway track going on too with all the community members. All the, you know, Cloud Foundry users, things like that. So yeah, definitely if you're in the area, if you can make it, it's a you know, a very small fee just to get a ticket. It's not very expensive at all. You know, it's just $50. We'll get you a pass in and come check it out. And
$50 will get you lunch and dinner in Manhattan, which is
You're basically, it's free with food.
Yeah.
Yeah, and keep an eye out for everybody that's there. I mean, we're going to, you know, be out there with our cameras. Hopefully, we're going to be able to take this, you know, describe your CF push. I want to interview a lot of people who are at
Cloud Foundry Day.
Create a big video stream that we could put out on the channel about everybody talking about their first Cloud Foundry push. So, and then on the Cloud Foundry Day Germany, I did throw that into chat. I'm not going to try to spell that city without looking it up. So we'll wait till it becomes official and we'll make sure that gets posted out as well.
Yeah. Now we need to get some like traveling mics, Nikki, and we'll just be walking around and tell us about your first Cloud Foundry CF push now.
Go. Yeah, we'll be able to, I don't know, maybe a little GoPro and some traveling mics, get people mic'd up. But I think that that would make, you know, if we can get, you know, people there to throw out their first Cloud Foundry, you know, push, I think that'd make for a great video. So, you know, come find us. We'd be interested to get a quick interview, get your idea of what you think and get that out in a video.
Yeah. And as always, if you are interested, if you're a Cloud Foundry user, if you want to come on the show and tell us about your experiences, and we'd be happy to, you know, have you on and interview and get your story. Cause we have a lot of, fantastic stories out there. We'd like to tell them. So, let us know and reach out to us. We have LinkedIn and Twitter. We'll put that up there. And I think, do we have any other final thoughts for the show today, Chris or Ron, that we want to kind of end with, or anything else you want to promote or bring to the audience's attention?
I think we covered it all. Very excited about New York, obviously next month. And Cloud Foundry is in a nice, comfortable place right now. It's fun. It's fun promoting projects like Paquetto that it's just sort of taking off on its own. And then hopefully Karifi can sort of ride Paquetto's coattails, you know, as people get that in the Kube community, get that, you know, Cloud Native Build Pack experience. We can give a nice wrapper for that. You can give their devs a better experience than they're currently dealing with. Because, I mean, that's ultimately what Cloud Foundry's always been about, right? It's like making developers' lives easier at work.
Right.
Because
exactly.
It's not always that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Nikki, I think we lost you there for a second.
Back. Oh, sorry. Went on mute because I was typing. So Deshaun brings up a good point. We still got CFPs open for Spring 1 and VMware Explore. Man, I would love nothing more than get customers out there talking about what they're doing with Cloud Foundry and with Tanzu Application Service out at VMware Explore. You know, I think... my personal opinion, the conversation's been a little light the last couple explorers that we had. So would love to get people out there talking about Cloud Foundry again, you know, during that event.
Same spring. I've been working real hard to make that better too, Nikki.
Me too. I'm reaching out to customers left and right saying, let's get out and let's tell people what you're doing. You're doing some great stuff and let's be some shining stars for companies that are on the fence.
Yeah.
The Venetian in late August, huh?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. Yeah.
Maybe we can get the CFF out there. We'll see.
Stranger things have happened.
All right. Okay. Well, we like to. We can end every show. We'll stream some banners for social promotion too as well. Ram, do you have any
for the folks that are watching this? I would really love it if people can. Take a little bit of time, do some prototype or pilot efforts with, Karifi and the new build pack stuff with Paquetto and things like that. And, if you can get us feedback, at these events or close to these events or, come on the show and, showcase those efforts about, what's worked and more importantly, what's not. It would be some really nice feedback for us, both as a community and as, vendors and, to really get an understanding of, what's really holding people back from, using this in production and putting this to like constant use. And so if I could take this show as an opportunity to put out an appeal for, people to try this stuff, I think we all look forward to hearing from you. And as a very regular contributor, but also somewhat involved maintainer for Cloud Foundry projects and other open source projects, feedback from people like you who are watching and listening and tuning in is so important to help improve projects for us. And so please give the projects a try and try and get us some feedback.
Yeah.
And I'd say the same thing goes when you guys are at these conferences. You're at a lot more conferences than we are, Ram. So, you know, if somebody comes up and says, hey, we did this really cool thing, please point them our way. We'd love to get them on Absolutely. A show and highlight what they're doing. Yeah. I think it's a great opportunity. You know, not enough people are talking about what they're doing. There's great stuff going out there, but it's not getting the airtime that it should. And that's one of the things me and Nick are trying to fix here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we would love to have you on the show anytime you want. So just hit us up in Slack. But I guess we're coming to a close here. And another fun thing we do, if you haven't seen the show to the very end, but we end the show with a simple phrase.
Hold on before we do that. Oh, sorry. We got to do the obligatory, you know, for everybody that's watching. If you want to, you know, hit that subscribe button, make sure that you know when the new content's coming out. You can look for CF Cloud Foundry Weekly on LinkedIn and on Twitter. And then we've also got cloudfoundryweekly.com. So that's where we're putting all the podcasts so that you can listen to us if you don't want to see our pretty faces. But, you know, make sure you hit that subscribe button. We do this every Thursday. Don't want you to miss anything.
Yeah.
Now we're good.
No, and then even the reviews and the, you know, likes in your podcast player thing of choice helps out as well. So we are getting a pretty healthy stream of podcast views. So let us know. And if there's any feedback too from the show, let us know what you like and don't like. We'll try to take that into account. But yes, we will end the show now. I tried to end it like 5 times too early, I think. But we usually end it with just a CF bye. And then
CF bye.
Yeah. So CF bye.
Till next week. Bye. Thanks, everybody. Thank you all our viewers.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Cloud Foundry Weekly. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, subscribe to our YouTube channel, or check us out at cloudfounderyweekly.com. Thank you.